The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. Certainly, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and it is with the mouth that a person confesses, resulting in salvation. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. So there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord is Lord of all, who gives generously to all who call on him. Yes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So then, how can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one about whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, who preach the gospel of good things. But not all obeyed the gospel. For as Isaiah says, Lord, who believed our message? So then faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The doctrine of election is the teaching that God has chosen who will be saved from death and hell from before the foundation of the world. God has known from eternity who his people are. He has loved them even before they have done anything right or wrong. God says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Though they shared the same womb, Jacob was to become Israel with his 12 sons. Esau was to become Edom, a nation that was not chosen as God's own. The teaching of election easily brings to mind many difficulties for our reason. For example, if God is the one who chooses for salvation, does that mean that he also chooses who is going to be damned? If God is the one who chooses who will be saved, then does it not matter whatever else might happen through the course of life? Can those who are predestined sin all that they want and still be saved? Can those who are not chosen not be saved, no matter what? These are all questions that are difficult. Because of all the difficulties that our reason immediately throws up when it hears of this teaching, it is often neglected. I also tend to neglect this teaching. I think this might be the first sermon after being here for 9 years that I'm giving concerning election. It seems more prudent to just leave this teaching be. It's safer and easier that way. But that's no good. The scriptures clearly teach this, and I suppose that's enough justification for speaking about it right there, but there's also the fact that the doctrine of election, the teaching that God has picked us for salvation, is quintessential to the gospel. Why should you be saved? The gospel says that God picked us for salvation. He foresaw you, he predestined you, he called you, he justified you, and he's glorifying you. All these gifts are because of God's goodwill towards you from eternity, without any reference to what you've done or left undone. God has chosen you, and no one can take you out of his hand. If God is for you, then who can be against you? As for the difficulties that God's election brings up for our reason, what we must keep in mind is that the doctrine of election has not been given to us to satisfy our curiosity. He has not revealed it so that we could master it with our reason and give our consent to God's plans. As the scriptures say, Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? God has revealed how he chooses those who will be saved in order that we can believe it and be drawn near to God with our trust in him. We should trust him because he has said that he has chosen us. Now you might be wondering, when did God ever say that to me? I've never heard him talk. To the contrary, of course you've heard God talking to you. It is true that he has not spoken to you directly. God doesn't normally interact that way, even in biblical times. He works through means instead of directly, but it is him who is doing it all the same. And so he has brought it about that you should hear of Jesus Christ, the Savior and Redeemer of the world, who has been sacrificed for you. You have been baptized. That's God's own voice saying, "You are mine." You have heard God's own words, or Jesus' own words, when he says that God loved the world in this way, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He is the good shepherd. His sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. His words are holy and sublime in holy communion. That's Jesus' own words that you hear. He says that this bread is his body, given for who? Given for you. And this cup is the New Testament, the new arrangement between God and us, the new binding agreement. And what is the nature of this arrangement? Jesus says that this blood is what has been shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. Wherever God's revelation of salvation is made, as it's revealed in the scriptures, there you have God's voice. And that voice says, "I pick you. You are mine, individually, you." This is the way that it has always been. God has always called those whom he has chosen through the preaching of his word. The reason why Adam and Eve knew that they were reconciled to God, that God had picked them in spite of their sins, is because God told them so. The reason why Abraham knew that he was chosen by God is because God told him. The reason why the children of Israel knew that they were chosen is because God told Jacob so. The reason why the people at Pentecost knew that God had chosen them is because St. Peter said, "This is for you and for your children, for those who are near and for those who are far off." It is the same way still today. The way that you can know that God has chosen you is by hearing him say this to you in his word and his sacraments. In our epistle reading this morning, St. Paul says that if we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, then we'll be saved. Everyone who believes in Jesus will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can anyone know about Jesus if they are not told about him? And how can anyone speak about Jesus unless they have been sent by God to do so? Beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of peace, who preach the gospel of good things. This reading is about the way that God calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the ones whom he has chosen by the preaching of Jesus Christ. God's choice, God's election of those who are to be saved is made known by the preaching of the gospel. Heaven and hell hang in the balance, and what makes the difference is the preaching of the word of God. Preaching is the way that God's kingdom comes. It's the way that he reigns and rules in the hearts of his children by the power of the Holy Spirit when they believe in Jesus and are saved. Preaching's a big deal. The goodness of the preaching of the gospel is spoken about in our Old Testament reading in a poetic way. Isn't it true that in a very short time, Lebanon will be turned into an orchard and the orchard will seem like a forest? On that day, the deaf will hear the words of a book, and out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. The humble will rejoice in the Lord once again, and the poor will delight in the Holy One of Israel. When the gospel goes out into any place, it is a life-giving and a life-enriching force. It makes orchards of sweet fruit spring up that are so bounding with life that they seem like a forest. You know what fruit trees are. They don't look like a forest, do they? But this one is so bountiful that it looks like a forest. The gospel makes the deaf hear and the blind see. All people by nature are deaf and blind to the truth of God. They won't tolerate either his law or his gospel. Unbelievers live in rebellion against God, so that death is a dreadful prospect, and the life of this world is the only thing that they have to hope in. But the words of a book, the Bible, make people understand God. Their ears are unstopped and their eyes are opened. They come to know and to believe Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, and are excited about beholding the prospect of the glory of God and the merciful face of Jesus. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. It reveals God's election. It says, God has chosen you so that you may have peace and be glad. We can see from this that the most important thing in this world is the preaching of the gospel. It has always been this way. It was this way with the very first preaching of the gospel in the Garden of Eden, whereby Adam and Eve believed in Jesus who would crush the serpent's head. It is the most important thing that happens today. What does it matter that the world advances in this way and that way? What does it matter that each one of us sits on a mountain of money that our ancestors could only dream of? If we do not have peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, then it is all for naught. Everyone will die. And what will all the trinkets and gadgets mean then? This world is even going to melt as it burns. And so the institutions of this world will turn to nothing. The thing that endures forever is the Word of God, the gospel, God's reconciliation of sinners to himself in the crucified Son of God who is risen from the dead and sits at God's right hand. When he comes in glory, you will be raised in glory to be seated together with him in his heavenly banquet. To the extent that we are hearing and believing the glad tidings of great joy, to that extent, we are in good stead. Our strength is not in ourselves or in any earthly thing. Our strength is from our head, our Savior, Jesus, who gives life to his body, the church to which he's joined himself. This is God's own strength given to us so that we may have peace and joy in the God who has loved us, chosen us, and brought us to himself. But what about those who have heard this word of God, this word of the gospel, and have not believed? What about those who hear God's word that says to them that they are chosen, but they don't believe it? This happens. In fact, St. Paul interrupts his hymn of joy and gladness about the preaching of the gospel to say, "But not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, 'Lord, who has believed our message?'" What does this unbelief do? due to God's election and the proclamation of God's choosing. When I or any other Christian says that God has chosen you, here we're getting to the border of what we are able to say. Remember, the doctrine of election was not revealed to us to satisfy our curiosity or to know all things. There might be questions that we have in this regard that the scriptures do not provide answers for. But St. Paul does say this about those who hear the gospel but do not believe. He asks this rhetorical question: will their unfaithfulness undo the faithfulness of God, who has made his promises to us that are faithful and true? No, God remains faithful even if nobody else does. The promises he keeps, and he wants us to believe in them. An analogy might help here. We all know that a $100 bill has great worth. We know that it will work if we want it to buy something. We know that it will do what it's supposed to do. But suppose someone took their $100 bill and they flushed it down the toilet because they mistakenly believed that it was worthless or whatever else they might be thinking. Does the fact that they don't believe in the value of that $100 bill do anything to the value of that $100 bill? No, it's still a $100 bill. They just don't believe it. In a similar way, when God says, "Here, this salvation is for you. I choose you, and I give it to you." That is true. Something much greater in value than a $100 bill is given to us. If we walk away from this promise of God and do not believe it, and hold to it by faith, it doesn't change the nature of God's promise. We know that God's will is that no one should perish, but that all should repent and come to a knowledge of the truth. The things God says to us are trustworthy and true, whether they're believed in or not. But if we do not believe them, if we turn away from them, then they won't be any good to us personally. It will be like we have flushed the gospel down the toilet. We've treaded the blood of Christ underfoot. What we should take from this then is that if we hear the voice of God today, we should not harden our heart against it. It is not an accident that you are here today. God is in control of all things. He's brought it about that you should be here to hear the gospel, to have your ears unstopped, your eyes opened, and your tongue loosed. What I've said to you today is not my own thoughts. I have not come up with this stuff out of thin air. It's what the Bible says. Go and look for yourself and see that this is what St. Paul says in Romans chapters 9 and 10. I say this to you not so that you think I'm some great smart person, but so that you may believe what God is saying to you, telling you that he has chosen you for salvation. From the foundation of the world, he has brought that salvation about by the redemption that is in Jesus and by the preaching of the gospel, so that you may believe it and by that faith be saved. When you take the Lord's Supper today, just listen to what Jesus is telling you. This is his body. It's given for you. This is his blood. It is shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. Isn't it amazing that our salvation is given to us in such a way, in such a place? The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.